Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For those tuning in on Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. As well as those tuning in on the radio side or online, we're glad you all could join us as well. It's hard to believe it's been 2.5 years since I welcomed our next guest to our program. New York Times bestselling author Allison Wynn Scotch is back with us to talk to us not only about her amazing literary journey, but also her brand new book out now. It's called In 20 Years. We're going to talk to her about the cast of characters she introduces us to, but also the realness that they face, that all of us face, when it comes to being the person that we truly are and not the person that we want others to think that we are. We'll talk to Allison about her own journey with the truth, but also what it's been like for her to share the truth through her work of fiction as well. Allison, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Cyrus. I really appreciate it. Glad to be back.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. Yeah, it was November 2013, the last time we spoke, of course.
Crazy,
at that time,
right?
We
That's the
talking,
last time
yeah.
I had a book out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a long time.
Yeah, and you know, but I think the great thing about you, Allison, when I heard about this book, I knew, first of all, it was going to be reflective. I knew it was going to be funny, but also knew it was going to be one of those reads that both men and women could both appreciate. And true enough, that is exactly what you have delivered once again. What has it been like for you, though, Allison, as you've gone throughout this journey as a storyteller, to be able to write these stories that are so real for people, but really are entertaining along the way as well?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for saying that about both men and women. I think in the past, typically my audience has been, it skews much more heavily female. And this is the first book, because I did write some male characters, where I feel really confident that I think it could resonate with a lot of men as well, which isn't to say men wouldn't enjoy my other books, but, you know, they're more typically female. So there are some male characters who I really loved writing. And to the second part of your question, correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry, I gave you a long-winded answer to something that you didn't even ask me. What's it like to write something so real or, you know, connect with people?
Right.
I mean, I just – certainly this book examines that, sort of the false pretense that some of us put up in our lives and social media. And I just always feel like honesty – in all aspects of your life is the best policy. And so I don't really know how to write anything that is less than maybe honest. And I'm like really not putting myself up on a pedestal. Sometimes that can get me in trouble. But, you know, I aim to have very authentic characters. And, you know, sometimes I'm reading a book and I'll be like, wait, is that really like the choice that they would make? And I don't know. I just aspire to take my characters through a journey that hopefully these are real choices that real people would make, and the readers feel like they're actual real people. I mean, I feel that way about them. So.
Right. Yeah. Does it get scary for you? I was thinking about this and I was prepping for your segment, because, you know, as readers, we can be a little bit nosy. And, you know, when, it's just like when we hear about things that are going on in our neighborhood, even though we don't have names, we think, okay, I wonder if that about this person. I wonder if that's about this. When you're writing a book like In 20 Years, did you have any thoughts of, I wonder, you know, which one of these characters people are going to think is most me?
Yes and no. I mean, there are similarities in the book in that I said it at Penn, at the University of Pennsylvania, where I went. And so I'm sure that immediately people think, oh, you know, there must be some truth there. And I had to, you know, I've emailed some of my closest friends and been like, listen, it's totally fictional other than the factual aspects of, like, what took place back then and, you know, what was happening in the late 90s. You know, it's interesting. I feel like this is my sixth book, and I think I stopped worrying about what people project onto me maybe around my second or third one. My second book was really sort of about this discontent stay-at-home mom and her discontentment with her marriage, and I knew that people thought that was me, and, you know, that was sort of like – that's one of the most personal projections that somebody could make about you, but you know what? It's none of these people are me. I mean, I'm still happily married, you know, however many years later than from that book. So I think most writers will tell you that there are aspects of themselves littered throughout all of their characters. I mean, I think it's really hard to write a character whom you don't relate to. So you do have to find connections with all of them. But none of these people, you know, I'm not any of them. And I think writing about actually a character who really is yourself is actually much more challenging, because then you really have a difficult time discerning between reality and making the leap to what's fiction. So it really never crosses my mind to actually include me. There are a few, you know, maybe small anecdotes that I actually that are true from life, but none of these people, you know, are me.
Yeah,
and if people think that, I can't do anything about that. So
right, yeah, and I think the interesting thing though, there are some great moments that you give in the book. I think the character for myself as a reader, who, you know, I try not to, and I was actually politely corrected earlier this year, Allison, by an author who I made a comment and it said, you know, this is a book I think that men will enjoy, and she said, well, why wouldn't they? And she said, because I'm a woman.
I'm very difficult to offend. Don't worry.
I can imagine the way I said it, you know, because, you know, for one thing, it had a romantic look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And my point was to the audience was that, you know what, regardless of what the cover looks like, you know, guys can actually read this book, you know. But with this book, the character that really stood out to me, and I didn't know if it was going to be, was Lindy. Lindy is the character that I think is so interesting and so layered, because, you know, I think there are men and women out there who try to be able to be this person that is altogether real. But is what people kind of have embraced, what people have taken about them and allowed that to be whatever they think. And they kind of believe what they are about themselves until something comes and challenges that. But there's a great line that you write, a great exchange that happens in chapter 26. Allison, I want to talk to you about it, where it's Annie's chapter. And Annie says to the group, I wish I were still 20. And then Colin says to her, no, you don't, I promise. Do you think that one of the great things about this book is that it shows that even though time may pass, sometimes that is a good thing for us to be able to learn not only about life, but also learn about ourselves?
Absolutely, and I really love that you say that. I think, you know, I was writing this leading up to my own college reunion, and I think there's a lot of romanticizing that goes on about who you were, and whether it's I'm sure it's individual for every person, whether it's in college or, you know, after college or high school or whatever it is. And then, like, when you really think about it, and I do this, like, I think, oh, my gosh, college is, like, the best time of my life. And then when I really remember it, I wasn't that happy. You know, there were a lot of things that made me miserable at the time. And so I think it's important to sort of take stock and consider how far you've come, and certainly embrace the things that made you happy about whatever period is that you're romanticizing, and just sort of be in the present. And I think that these characters are forced to do that by reuniting, you know, all these years later, after there's been a lot of fallout between them. There's a lot of misunderstandings and animosity, and they have to take stock and say, what do we have to leave behind? What do we have to hold on to? And what matters to us now? And I just want to say, I'm really glad that you say that about Lindy, because I think she's a very polarizing character. I happen to love her, but she has a lot of hard edges, and she's hard to always understand. But I think that she is really caught in that struggle, which you articulate really well, between not knowing what to believe about herself based on what other people have told her. And that's a complicated, and it's something that, you know, as an author, we have to deal with. But I think it's something, you know, I'm a parent, that you have to be really cognizant of telling your children who they are, And so it's something that we all go through. And she just happens to be a famous musician who does it in a more public way.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. That reminds me of my second favorite character, which is Catherine. And before I mention why, I want to talk about, you know, the thought of what people want. Because I think part of what happens with reunions, part of what happens with life and milestones is that people want to be able to say, well, look what I've become, you know, whether
sure.
they believe they could, you know, become something or not. You know, not to take anything away from any of the characters, and then, of course, to embrace what you have accomplished, Allison. I mean, you are a New York Times best-selling author.
Oh.
How does that not define you? How do you not allow that to become how people see you?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think some of it has to do with getting older and having a real fundamental sense of what's important and what isn't important. I think, you know, for me, what's important is obviously my family and my children and my marriage, but, you know, also finding a lot of joy in my career and finding joy through my friendships. And, you know, I am very wary of, to get back to the first part of your question, sort of projecting yourself out into the world to meet these other expectations or, you know, whatever you think you need to present to people. I find real life and sort of the messiness of real life much more interesting than sort of, you know, overly curated Instagram feeds or, you know, perfect selfies. So I think probably because I find that more interesting, that's probably more of my point north. It gets back to what we talked about a few minutes ago. I just think that honesty is, you know, such an important factor in your life. And I guess, I mean, being a best-selling author in terms of my honesty level is really not particularly important to me. I mean, I want my books to do well. And, of course, I consider myself, you know, my career is an important facet of, I guess, my confidence and your self-esteem and all of that. But I don't know. Life is big, and I believe in soaking so much more of it up than just these labels, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. It does. And that's a big contrast from the characters that we meet in 20 years for sure. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Already we're having a great conversation today with New York Times bestselling author Allison Wynn Scott. Last time that she was with us, we were discussing her latest read. Her newest book that's out now is called In 20 Years, where she introduces us to a great cast of characters. I mentioned the character Catherine, and I think she is someone who many people will be able to relate to, but I also think there is this thought of, you know, she's having to deal with some of the stereotypes, you know, that sometimes is in business, especially women in business, where one of the things I thought was interesting was when she, you know, when things were coming to her and she would say to herself, well, I bet, you know, Rupert Murdoch is never being told something like that, or, you know, I bet he's, you know, he doesn't have to deal with that. You know, I think that is unfortunately still a reality that we deal with. I think it's also something that, you know, the women that we are able to meet in your book have to grapple with, but also the guys as well, because I think, you know, for everyone, there is a certain amount of pressure on who you become and how and what that does. And there is some guilt that happens, I think, with both the men and the women. The male character I wanted to talk to you about a little bit was Colin. What was it like for you to create him and to kind of, you know, show him as he is now versus the Colin that they knew 20 years ago?
I love Colin, and he is sort of an ambiguous character, and he's written that way intentionally because I feel like I knew men in college who you could never quite get a handle on, and maybe still couldn't at 40. So, you know, he goes through something very difficult without giving away sort of the ending of the book that I knew was going to happen and gave me a lot of empathy for him from the very beginning. You know, I think he wants to be a better person, but is very caught up in some things that he did that he doesn't know how to overcome them. And whether or not you've gone through something as difficult that he has, you know, I think we can all relate to that. Like, we've all made some really big mistakes, and you have to figure out how to forgive yourself for them. So that was really sort of his emotional arc, and I liked writing sort of the mysterious guy who maybe you looked at from a foreign college and never could quite pin down. But I did just want to say I really like what you say about how they all are, you know, struggling with this pressure, and particularly, you know, with the male-female gender stereotypes. That's something that I'm really interested in. As you know, I have a lot of really successful female friends, and I just think it's awesome. And I, but sometimes it's not an equal playing field. And then there's Owen, who is a stay-at-home dad, who doesn't feel satisfied by that either. So, you know, I think that midlife is just it can be tricky, and you sort of feel like, oh, I got to do everything now. And that's what these characters are facing. That's the pressure that they're staring down. Like, am I happy? And if not, how can I resolve that for myself?
Yeah. And I think even I have learned, especially in the past year for myself, Allison, that I now look at success or what success is totally different. I think what
you just said is what
these characters are now thinking about what happiness looks like. You know, I think because There is an idea of what someone looks at what you have and say, oh, well, I bet they're happy, you know, or they look at this thing about this person and says, well, I bet they're happy, when they could be looking at someone who doesn't have what they have and think, oh, okay, I wish I had that. I mean, was that something you knew going in was going to be a part of this?
Yes, for sure. And it's something that I think about a lot, I think particularly with social media, where some people really project this, or try to project this sort of, you know, utopia, like this just amazingly perfect life. And sometimes that makes other people feel bad about themselves. And sometimes you sort of look at it and think this is just impossible. It's a false premise. And I think I also wanted to explore, somebody said to me yesterday that they felt like the book made them wonder how happy is happy enough. And that really sort of hit the nail on the head for me. You know, how long and how hard you have to strive before you just say, you know, I'm content with what I have. And I think that's, that is really the struggle. Like, how much money do I need? How much success do I need? How happy is a happy marriage? Am I satisfied with how successful my children are, whatever it is? And so, you know, I'm like everybody else, and it's something that I think about a lot. And, you know, where does that bar end, and how high do you want to move it for yourself? So that was definitely a major theme of the book, and something that, you know, as I turned 40, I gave a lot of thought to just personally.
Right. For sure. It's a powerful read, I have to say. You know, there's definitely some moments that make you smile. But also, I think it's so great. I think, you know, one of the things about you is that you're able to draw us in with these characters that are so flawed and so us that you can't help but not feel something something with them.
Well,
I think
thank you. You know, I tend to write one of the notes that I get in my many revisions is that, like, some of my characters are just really not likable. And so I have to sort of go back, and I skew towards unlikable, and then I have to go back and make them more likable. And I think, you know, I just like getting into the nitty-gritty of who people are, and sometimes that can be an unflattering portrait. But I also think that a lot of us have unflattering aspects of ourselves, and it's my job and my interest as a writer to explore them. You know, and I think, hopefully, that you can see how maybe they hardened over the years, but when they met in college, they sort of were unwritten personalities. And so some of their less flattering characteristics emerge in adulthood, and I think that can happen too. So
I think that is the other thing. I have to briefly mention Annie, because when you were talking about the life that people live, I think she is one of these examples. You know, if there is something that kind of stood out to me about Annie as I was reading the book initially, Allison, it was the fact that she seemed to be suffering in silence. I mean, what she was dealing with, after the birth of her, after her son, and then, not wanting to let other people know. And the way that you wrote it, I think, and if I can find the passage, I will read it. Oh, yeah, I found it. This is what you wrote about her. She couldn't tell Baxter. She didn't tell Baxter. When he arrived home from work, she was showered and pulled together, and sometimes, if it was early enough, she'd made something like a pot roast. She saved the breakdowns until the apartment was quiet, when the nanny took us to a music class or out to the park. Sometimes if she was desperate and they were home, and he locked herself in the bathroom and turned on the shower to conceal her cries. I mean, what was it like for you to go there with her and to experience that with her?
You know, well, just hearing that passage makes me sad. Annie, for me, was really the heart of the book. I think she's just the most sympathetic character, and I think you really feel for her. You know, she was crafted from, again, just my observations or maybe some conversations that I've had over the years or articles I've read. You know, I think that, again, it gets back to this image of being pulled together and privately breaking down, and you know how that correlates into social media. You know, she's a very curated Instagram feed, and not feeling safe and not feeling like she can trust herself or her husband or her friends to reveal this less, what she perceives to be likable, I would just say vulnerable, side of herself. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who feel that. Again, particularly, you know, with social media and seeing all these people around them who they may believe to have better, happier, whatever that means, lives. So that's really where she came from. And I felt sad for her a lot while I was writing it, but I also felt like it came from, you know, probably I've never experienced that, but a truthful place, you know, from some women I know, or again, just reading whatever it is. So, she really drew me in, and she broke my heart a little bit, and then hopefully by the end of the book, she rebuilds your heart a little bit. I have a lot of love and empathy for her, and it where she comes from and where she goes is, you know, it can't be easy.
Right, for sure, for sure. I love that one passage later on in the book, also when you talk about her interaction with Cece and how she says Cece's life is like an Instagram post, kind of like the ones that she posts, you know, with no substance. You know,
right.
And I think that is the thing. You know, a lot of it is about appearances. And what a great thing, I think, for all of us to be able to remember, for sure. Again, everyone, best-selling author Allison Wynn Scott has been our guest for this segment. We've been discussing her book, as you can tell. It's as real as it gets when it comes to life, even though it is fiction. It's called In 20 Years. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com, so you guys can head over there and get it for yourself. And already, Allison, you've been interacting with your fans. I mean, and they have been kind of, you know, gravitating to you from all over the world. I mean, what is it been like for you to share this experience with all of them and all of us?
I mean, every book is super exciting and a little nerve-wracking. This one, you know, I feel like I have a really good support in place, and I've just been trying to enjoy it, sort of getting back to what you said about, like, how happy or how do you define that for yourself. You know, in the past, I've been, like, neurotic and anxious, and it's not to say that I'm not, but I'm just trying to be happy. Like, it's so great to talk to readers or to talk to you or to get tweets or, you know, posts on Facebook. And I don't mean that, like, in terms of lauding me. I just mean it's important to me to connect with people.
Right.
You know, that's, as you and I talked about, like, how do you define success? To me, successful is resonating with people and reaching them. And so I'm trying to really appreciate every moment of it. You know, it's funny, I took my kids to sleepaway camp last week, and I flew home, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I have a book out in 5 days. And it was a great moment because I wasn't so wrapped up in the whirlwind of it. And I think that, to me, is, like, adult progress. So, you know, that's being happy enough, not making myself crazy. So I love hearing from people, and I love knowing that a book, you know, I've gotten some emails, like, people have reached out to their old friends, and, you know, that's important, and that's why you write. You don't have to hit bestseller lists. You don't have to, you know, get whatever the reviews are. You as a writer, I think you really hope to reach people, and that's lovely.
Yeah, what a great thing. Well, congratulations to you again. All the accolades are definitely warranted. It's a great book, as they have been in the past. Allison, congratulations. Let our audience know how they can stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you.
Thank you. Well, I'm on Twitter at ASWyn. I'm on Facebook at Allison Wyn Scotch. There's a cool new app, which I've been talking about, and I like literally get nothing from them, but I just enjoy it a lot. It's called the List app, and BJ Novak, who's the actor from The Office, started it, and I'm there under ASWyn. It's just a really cool, warm community of people, and I enjoy it a lot. So those are the three where I am generally found. I have another book due in 2 months, Cyrus. So that's what I'm working on now, or telling myself that I'm going to work on while my kids are away. And that, I'm guessing, will be out next year. So, I mean, I have to finish it.
Sure.
Before it comes
We'll be looking forward to that for sure, Allison. Allison, again,
thank you so much
for spending part of your pub day with us. And, look, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to the next conversation.
Thank you so much. It's always great talking with you.
Hey, same here. I appreciate the time. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. I want to thank our good friend Anne Marie at Good Red PR for setting up this conversation with us for today. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in, either through Conversations Radio Network or through our radio audience or online, to another edition of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.